listen to a pretty all right podcast about wrestling, do ya?
Well, the natural lad, Jim Swag, has said time and time again that there's only one podcast that's the most decent and the most all right in the industry today.
And that's who? It's the Game Raider Wrestling Podcast. Welcome back, everyone, to your favorite podcast about wrestling on the internet today, the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here today with good buddy Adam.
Oh, yes, it's the end times for wrestling, because this is, I have some words for Survivor Series.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about Survivor Series and what happened, and we'll get to it, but before we get to it, if you want to follow us on all other stuff, you can go to Game Rage Magazine on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, like, comment, follow, subscribe. Also, Game Rage Mag on Twitter/X. If you like music, go listen to All Gas No Trash. And you can follow Adam at All Gas No Trash Official on Instagram. So, Survivor Series 2024 was not fucking good. It was very bad. All the way around, it was very bad.
I feel like we need to move on from the War Games and Survivor Series coupling.
Yeah.
And just do go away back with that. Go back to being Survivor Series, because this shit is getting old.
Yeah, it is. We need to go back to the traditional 5-on-5, you know, or whatever number you want to use. Elimination tag match, basically, as being the staple of the thing. I'm getting tired of the cage. I'm getting tired of these two fucking rings. That's honestly, it was cool for a little bit, but now that's like some NXT, that's some AEW shit right there, okay? Like, we need to go back to the basics to make Survivor Series great again, all right?
Make Survivor Series sick.
We really need to make wrestling great again, okay? Because it's starting to be ass, like consistently ass.
It's not starting to be, it's been ass.
Yes, it has been, but there's now starting to be no redeeming quality at all that we can talk about. Because before, at least there was a good match here, a good match there. This entire pay-per-view was fucking complete garbage. No redeeming quality whatsoever that I can talk about on this pay-per-view at all.
And the crowd was ass.
At least we could say, like, for Backlash or whatever, okay, maybe there was like one match. But man, the French, the Germans, whatever, those crowds were fucking fire, man. They were hot as fuck. That was a cool thing. That made the pay-per-view seem better than it was. But this one, the crowd did not help it whatsoever.
But the matches were just shit too,
all the way around. Sure, we got some funny memes out of it a little bit with fucking Nia Jax fucking doing those shitty Hogan shots with the chair and fucking fucking that up. But again, that's ass. That's terrible. That shouldn't be happening at the level that these fucking people are wrestling at and getting paid at. And I said it to you on Discord, and I'm going to say it again on the podcast. I really think we need to go back to the days of basically indentured servitude with professional wrestling, because I think these motherfuckers have gotten too comfortable. I think they're fucking too lazy. They don't give a fuck anymore. Again, this pay-per-view, everyone was fat. Disgusting. And I'm not fucking body shaming anybody, but if you're going to be in a supremely athletic fucking sport and you're not Samoan, you need to be in shape, okay? Gunther went back to being fat Gunther again. Fucking needs to wear a shirt when he goes out there. Fuck. Actually needs to wear a full bodysuit like goddamn Damian Priest, okay? That's what he needs to fucking really be doing. I am utterly offended, just as I was with Cody Rhodes being fat and out of shape and fucking that matchup. Gunther fucked this matchup completely. He was fucking out of shape. He was tired, and it's disrespectful to the belt.
It just, that match, I mean, not to get on that match just yet, man, that one just felt like it came out flat out of the gate, and it never really picked up or anything, or was all that interesting. And somehow the outcome was even worse, because it was a shittier version of what happened at Bash in Berlin, or maybe it was at SummerSlam or whatever
the last rematch was.
Between Damian Priest and Gunther, and you can't fucking tell me that Finn Balor is a fucking threat, dude, because Rhea Ripley and Damian Priest have been taking on the Judgment Day on their own. You know, it's like the inverse ninja law. I've been saying that.
Right, yeah.
It's the inverse ninja law. So you're saying one-on-one, Finn Balor has a real chance of beating Damian Priest's ass if they decide to square up once more. And why are we even harping on this again, dude?
Yeah.
I don't get it. But that's besides the point. I know we have numerous matches to get to, but yeah.
So the first match obviously was the
I didn't watch it. I'm going to be honest.
Neither did I. I skipped that one. So we'll just say we skipped it. Didn't give a fuck about it. The women's War Games match. There was the funny meme that we saw on the internet afterwards about Nia Jax. And that was funny. And that was it. That's all I saw of it. Didn't care. Oh, I saw the end. I saw the finish of what's her name? Rhea Ripley doing the fucking riptide or whatever the fuck it's called to Liv Morgan off the top rope and putting her through a table.
Who cares?
Who cares? It was ass.
Why didn't they finish with Tiffany Stratton? She had there was two people, Nia Jax and Liv Morgan, laid out. I don't even know if it's possible if you could cash in your contract, because I think it's only one person that you can challenge, as opposed to saying, oh, I want this match to be a triple threat match. And she just lays on.
That would have been epic, man. Because they could have did that.
I don't know what the stipulations are when it comes to the Money in the Bank contract, but that should be something that should happen.
Yeah.
Where any match could be created, as opposed to just saying, oh, I want a one-on-one match with Nia Jax or Liv Morgan. She says, I want a triple threat match.
Winner take all.
And she just stretches herself, and she pins both of them and is undisputed women's champion.
Yeah, that'd be sweet. That would have been sweet. But, again, missed opportunity. They fucked that up. Didn't happen. The second match that happened was the LA... Was it the LA Knight match? Was that the second match, or was that the third match? I fucking don't remember.
No, I think it was... they lead with... The Sheamus and...
No, that happened after. I think... Well, fuck. Maybe. I don't know. You know, all right, now I got to look it up to see what the fucking match order was, because I could not have given a shit about the order of this fucking shit. Let's see real quick. Survivor Series 2024. Okay. The match order was... Okay, we had that. Oh, yeah, no, that was the second match, was Shinsuke versus LA Knight.
Okay, you're right, yeah.
And I will say, man, that match didn't even go 10 fucking minutes. Went 9:45. And honestly, LA Knight dropping the belt as he was, like, going into the ring and then fucking, like, them trying to cover up whatever. And it almost looked like he just didn't give a fuck. And I feel like he phoned this match in just... And Shinsuke also phoned the match in, too, I feel like.
So people were saying that Shinsuke ended up taking the belt because he's been allegedly been performing well enough at the house shows. So they felt like at least fans thought he was due for getting this title.
I don't know. I don't see it. I don't think I don't think he. Again, I like Shinsuke, all right?
Normally. I love Shinsuke.
I think he's great, but I just don't... I don't know what the fuck... I mean, this rogue samurai gimmick or whatever the fuck he's doing now, I don't know. It doesn't really make sense in terms of, like, what is... how it's being portrayed on screen. And I also... I don't know, man. I feel like he just doesn't give a fuck. I think he's just there for the money and that's it, which, again...
That's fine.
I think is the problem with most of these guys. Nobody gives a shit anymore about putting on good matches. They're just like, oh, I'm just going to go and just fucking whatever. Well, I guess we'll see.
Cool, I got the U.S. title.
Yeah, cool. This is great. All right. Maybe I'll get a little more money next time. I don't know.
It's like everybody wants to be a bullpen catcher versus like wanting to be the stud.
Yeah, exactly.
A stud fucking.
Everybody's cool with making league minimum. They don't give a fuck.
Like, everybody loves getting paid, but they're like, they don't want to do the work.
Right, exactly. And again, that match kind of sucked. It was kind of flat. It wasn't really, it was not a good match. Like, I didn't enjoy it.
I barely remember it.
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, Shinsuke wins. That's where we're at. We get the next match was the triple threat, Bron Breakker versus Sheamus and Ludwig Kaiser.
I feel like this was the match of the night, but it also wasn't, that's not really saying much.
No, it's not. This was definitely for sure the best wrestling match of the night, but it did suck as well. Sheamus again, fat Sheamus, like a visibly obese Sheamus, man. Like
S-H-A-M-E-S.
Shame us. Yes, he needs to be
shame us.
I don't understand how, and this is the one thing that drives me insane, is all of, like, there's a ton of fucking promotion that the WWE's been doing about, like, I don't know, working out and, like, doing shit on, like, all the social medias, and Sheamus is, like, the highlight. He's in, like, every video. Like, they got him working out or doing whatever. How do you be fat like that? And all you do is apparently work out. And how are you still that fucking out of shape? And dude, Sheamus was gassed. You could tell fucking 3-4 minutes into the match, he's red. He's just fucking just profusely sweating everywhere. Like it's his job. I mean, I don't understand how Triple H, being someone who in his time of being in ring as a performer, was consistently, except for that like short period where he was off steroids, okay, consistently though, was all about making sure and maintaining physique, right? And I'll say this, sure, Triple H went through that little fat period or whatever when he had a little extra on him when he was fucking off steroids.
Second Degeneration X, because he looked kind of...
Yeah, it was that time like when he was like trying to have more kids or whatever and he had to be off the gas for like a little bit to like, you know, get his sperm count up or whatever. So that's why he got off steroids like a couple of times. And those times, sure, you could tell, yeah, he wasn't juicing and you could tell that, hey, but at least in the ring, he was not, he didn't look bad. Like, he didn't fucking get gassed out super quick. Like, I mean, he was still doing what he normally would do. So I don't see how a guy like that who cared so much about physique as a wrestler allows, I mean, dude, like, I would say of the male performers out there, at least 50 to 60% of them were overweight and out of shape for this fucking pay-per-view. And Sheamus is no exception. Sheamus being a Triple H guy, I don't know how you allow this fucking shit to happen. Sheamus is done, man. Fucking washed up. Get him out of here. Unless he's going to get serious again and actually, you know, again, put effort into it, because that's what it tells me. It tells me that you don't put effort into, you know, your craft or whatever. Sure.
I think but in their defense, I think for someone like Sheamus, I don't think he's looking to be in the main event title picture again. And plus, I think your priorities change when you get fucking older. For Sheamus, who I think is married, maybe you don't want such a rough schedule so you can spend more time at home.
Yeah, sure, but you can still be working out. You don't got to be sitting there eating fucking bonbons and goddamn Krispy Kremes every fucking day and not exercising or not maintaining some sort of shape. And again, it's not even the aesthetic that I have the issue with, because honestly, there's guys in this shit that can just be fat and they that's just how they are. But they can still wrestle and still perform at a high level. Whereas, you know, when these guys who are normally in shape get out of shape and you can tell, listen, if Sheamus just was fat, who gives a fuck? As long as he's able to perform in the ring. His performance was fucking horrific. And it was, in my opinion, solely because he's not in shape.
Can you think of any highlights for this particular?
Yeah, the end. The end was the highlight when it was over. And yes, that little fucking sequence where Sheamus did whatever, goes to try to pin Ludwig Kaiser or whatever, he kicks out, and then Bron Breakker comes and fucking hits him with the spear or whatever. I don't know, whatever the fuck the ending was. That was the best part of the match, because I'm like, good, it's done.
I mean, there was two spots. There was one where Bron Breakker dove off of the ring and then into the announce table, and both of them.
Yeah, that's right.
And then Sheamus did the ten beats of the drum or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
because he was doing it to Ludwig Kaiser.
Yeah,
and then somehow Bron Breakker went after him and he like caught him and then just started doing it to him. And I don't know, it was kind of funny. It was like one of the two.
Yeah, that
the was two the two moments I could think.
Yeah, that was good. But
I think Bron Breakker is definitely he's definitely fucking main event material.
Yeah, 100%.
I just need him to be a little bit more unhinged.
Yeah,
and like nonsensical.
Yeah,
like fucking Scott Steiner esque. He doesn't have to be exactly like that, but I just need him to be a little more crazy.
Yeah, a little crazier. And I think we're getting that. I think we're moving to that. I think that's getting there.
I also don't like Ludwig Kaiser.
Nah, I thought he was. He just showed he's just going to be a jobber. That's his gimmick. That's his role. Just jobbing. I mean, he might maybe get like a tag title run. Maybe he might get like a Intercontinental run when Bron Breakker's done with it for a little bit, but
he's got like it's not exactly pencil physique, but he's got a very lean look, and not that size matters all the time, but if this guy is going to distinguish himself and try to move up to the main card, if that's the aspirations of most wrestlers, is to end up being the main event guy.
Yeah.
I don't see it for him, dude. And I couldn't even see him winning the US title. Or rather, the IC title.
Yeah.
So I think he's just going to be one of those guys that's going to be a glorified jobber. And as you were saying before, he'll just end up getting like a few IC titles just because they need a heel.
Yeah.
To get us from the next face champion.
He'll be like some transitional shit. And then that'll be it. Like, Yeah, good role, I guess, to have. I mean, you're still getting paid and you're still getting to do shit, so whatever.
But you gotta take a few bumps.
Yeah, take a few bumps. Then we get into the next match, which was Gunther and Damian Priest, which was a fucking shit show and a half. Again, I knew this match was going to be bad when Gunther walked out and you can't see shit under the trench coat and he's got the belt covering his gut. But like when he was coming up the stairs and after he walked down, he looked visibly winded. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be bad. And again, I'm not fat shaming him for being fat. You can be fat. That's fine. But you need to be in shape, though. You can be fat and in shape. Those are non-exclusive fucking terms, all right? You can be fat. You can have some jiggle. When he took off the belt, man, and you could just see his love handles pouring over his fucking trunks, I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is going to be AIDS. And as it turned out, it was AIDS. This match was terrible. I fucking hated it. And I am now in the, the Cody Rhodes camp with Gunther. We are in the same shit again. He just repeats the same shit. And as he's getting visibly more and more out of shape, it's therefore hindering what he can and can't do within the ring. It's starting to hinder it because when he's sitting there and he's just gassed after like fucking 6 minutes, like shit, man, this match went 20 minutes, bro. You're like a quarter into this and you're toast. Both of these fucking assholes, toast, fucking dead, sweating, dying out there. And then you go, and that's when we get into this shitty power wrestling maneuvers. And that's all it becomes is some shitty power wrestling and then some like shitty submission attempts on each other because you guys are tired. So you do a couple moves and then you got to be like, oh, we need a break. So let's like do a submission attempt and then just sit here for fucking 3 minutes so we can both recover and we can both get our win back. And then, okay, we'll do another 3-move set. And then, oh, we got to go back to another submission or some other dumb shit. Or we got to just knock each other out and lay here for fucking 5 minutes. You know, Jesus Christ, guys.
You know, I think we need more guys like Bron Breakker with a Kurt Angle build that are maybe possibly like more LA Knight-esque.
Yeah.
Something of that build, not.
What we're saying is we need more dudes on steroids, okay? That's
more dudes on steroids. Well,
because let's be honest, okay? I mean, you can look at both of those guys, and you can tell that they're on the gas, and there's nothing wrong with that. You can look at Gunther and Damian Priest. Neither of those guys have touched a steroid in their entire fucking life. You can easily see that. They've never touched a performance-enhancing drug at all, ever. And okay, that's fine, but I'm sorry. You ain't going to be in the main event then.
I guess the point I was getting at is that I want dudes like with an Eddie Guerrero build or Kurt Angle build that are maybe they're like just 6 feet and they're like 220 or whatever. But man, they can do the acrobatic shit.
Yeah,
they could do the acrobatic shit, but they could do like the technical wrestling like Kurt Angle. I feel like Bron Breakker is the only one that kind of fits that mold and everybody else is. Not so much.
Yeah, I agree. You know, I mean, this is going to come up in the next match, but you know who else I think is now kind of getting to that realm is Sami Zayn, man. He came out in this match looking pretty fucking shredded. And I mean, Sami Zayn can technically wrestle well, and he can kind of do some of the acrobatic shit. Maybe it doesn't look as good as maybe like Kurt Angle.
Oh, shit. I don't think he could do the crazy shit that he would do in like going through the like in NXT when he would go through the ropes and do a Hurricanrana, or is it a Whirlwind DDT?
A Whirlwind
DDT, but man, so I know we've been fat shaming a lot, but this dude's starting to grow on me. Not only because of his in-ring antics, but in spite of his build, he's one of the more athletic guys in the ring because of the things that he's done, but we'll get to that when we get to the final. I love you, Solo.
And okay, again, that's one of the things that I'm saying to like not get into it now, but like to just say, you can have a shitty build and not look like you're in shape, but be in shape, right? And listen, some guys are just blessed with DNA. Some guys do shit tons of steroids.
Some guys look like Randy Orton.
Yes, exactly. Like, and then there's some guys that look like, you know, fucking Jacob Fatu.
Fucking Yokozuna.
Yeah, if you looked like Yokozuna, but you could wrestle and you could go and not fucking die, then cool, man. That's what I'm saying, is you can do that. And I think Jacob Fatu is an example of that. Of that you can not have a super fucking, like, shredded build or whatever, and you can be a little pudgy, but still be in shape.
Because he did a lot of cool stuff.
He did do a lot of cool stuff.
So are we getting to
Let's just get this match. Okay, obviously Gunther won. He retained the title with a fucking stupid ass submission. And to further piss me off as he's like leaning against the ropes and you just see fat roll after fat roll after fat roll just appearing. He had like an 8-pack of fucking jelly rolls like sitting in his stomach. And I'm like, this is terrible.
Man, it makes me wonder, because I never actually got to see King Kong Bundy wrestle. That dude was...
Yeah, hefty.
Hefty, but if we compared Gunther to him, if your opinion would change.
Listen, Harley Race was fucking...
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Bam Bam Bigelow. But Bam Bam Bigelow did fucking excellent work in the ring. Excellent work. He was doing backflips off the fucking top rope being that fucking size. So, no, I think that, I've seen plenty of examples in my time of watching wrestling of guys who were hefty but could work and perform in the ring. I mean, listen, dude, even Rikishi, he was a big motherfucker, right? He was a big fat dude, and he still worked in the ring. He still fucking did all kinds of shit.
Yeah, he fucking dove off of a steel cage against the Rock.
Yeah, and he was fucking kicked off of a goddamn the top of the Hell in a Cell and the Armageddon fucking Hell in a Cell and landed in that fucking truck of, like, I don't know, whatever hay or whatever that shit was. But again, he can perform. He could do that. They're prime example of being able to do that and not looking like a fucking complete slob out there. Because you can look like a fat slob, but also be in shape and put on excellent fucking matches. So
Mick Foley.
Mick Foley. Yeah, perfect example. There you go. So anyways, get into the main event. The OG bloodline. I don't know what the fuck. The half bloodline. Whatever the fuck they're calling them. Roman Reigns and the Usos. Sami Zayn and CM Punk versus the... Bloodline proper, or the new bloodline, or whatever the fuck. Solo Sikoa, Jacob Fatu, Tama Tonga, and Tonga Loa, along with Bronson fucking Reed. Again, this match was terrible.
Where are you gonna start?
Well, okay, even with them coming out, right? The entrances, okay? You had the new bloodline come out, and they're in the fucking cage or whatever, and then you get Roman Reigns, you get Sam, you get all these guys, right? And then CM Punk comes out, all right? And then he starts, like, going up to the cage and fucking me and like, as they're locked in the cage already.
Yeah, agitating them.
Agitating them. And then, like, oh, everybody pulls them back and it's this whole thing. I'm like, all right, this was fucking completely unnecessary. We didn't even need to fucking see this. You're just wasting more time. This match is already going to be 45 fucking minutes long probably. So, like, let's just get to the down to business and just get shit happening. Also, again, listen, I like CM Punk, but... CM Punk, out of shape, all right?
Mm-mm.
Out of fucking shape, man.
I disagree. I think this is the best he's looked ever.
I don't know, man. This, I don't know if it was the lighting, but he was looking extra pudgy to me today. Well, not today, but at that fucking, at Survivor Series.
He looked, like, also, he looked like he bulked up. He looked
really,
like
what really did piss me off is, and listen, I'm sure Solo Sikoa is not fucking light, but don't fucking set him up for your finisher if you can't fucking get him over.
All right. How much of that was actually his fault, though? We don't know what if they didn't communicate it or like
all of it was his fault, because you can see Sami Zayn fucking gives him the signal like, hey, I'm going to fucking throw you into the other guys for the next fucking shit, which is after he did the Huluva kick, because everybody's doing their finishers, right? That was obviously pre-planned. So then he throws him over to Sami Zayn, or I'm sorry, CM Punk. And CM Punk picked him up. He got him up, no problem.
Yes, he got him up, yeah.
Okay, but then when he went to go lift him up to throw it, he tried to do it and was like, oh, fuck, oh, God.
Yes, but he did, like, the second time he went after it, it wasn't really a problem. I just, maybe he didn't give the cue to Solo, like, oh, get off my fucking back, because.
But the second go-around, Solo didn't even really help him at all. It was, he just got him up and did it, like, but, you know, I think that. I don't know what the fuck was going on, but it looked horrible. It looked like shit. And
I don't even think he was the worst thing.
No, that definitely was not the worst thing. I'm just being nitpicky here, and I'm just bringing that up. I mean, dude. I do think it looked like, what's his name? there was a video I saw of them zooming in on, what's his name, when he came off the fucking... the top thing or whatever.
Bronson Reed?
Bronson Reed. It looks like he broke both of his fucking ankles, man.
Oh, yeah, because he landed feet first before,
like,
the table.
Yeah, and like it looked like, and then the way his ankles turned, they're like, oh, man, Bronson Reed just broke both of his fucking ankles. And I thought that was kind of funny, but.
All right, so like I know we kind of jumped all over the place,
sorry.
But dude, I do not like Tama Tonga and Tonga Loa. Tama Tonga does this stupid thing like it's like cat chatter.
Yeah.
Like he did that for a good 10 minutes where he would go all over the ring and he was just kind of like barking like a chihuahua or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, you're not threatening at all. Nobody believes your shit. Okay, sure, you're fucking crazy, but You do like 1% damage. Like,
yeah,
you're a fucking, you're a minion in RPG, in an RPG video game.
Yeah, he's just an ad in the fucking RPG like game or whatever.
And then the worst part is, I thought they were going to start with somebody else. I thought they were going to start with Tongaloa because he's the least interesting.
Yeah.
But they saved him for like the midpoint. And then when he got in the ring, somebody said, Tongaloa sucks. And then some other guy said, I second that. So yeah, that shit was funny as fuck. But once everybody started to roll in after the 5 minute counts for everybody to start getting queued in. Oh, no, wait, hold on. I got to shit on Tongaloa again. So everybody's kind of like starts bringing in items, right?
Yeah, yeah.
They start bringing in items and Tongaloa, the dumb fuck, opens the door so he can get the fucking table, and then he opens it again and it slams shut. I'm like, dude.
Idiot.
Yeah, you fucking idiot. Dude, they should call a man. I don't know what it is about his face, but he's like the most goober fucking member of the new bloodline. Like, they should call him like fucking Tonga, just happy to be here, Loa. Like, I'm only here because,
yeah,
you know, my other family members are here and they needed a tag team.
Yeah, and I'm Samoan. That's the only thing that's
yeah.
here.
Like, that's yeah. He's such a fucking goober, but yeah, man, there was like a lot of weird coordinated spots where Jey Uso and even Jimmy didn't look like they were giving their best efforts in their super kicks or anything. And then there was a weird spot where what was it? It was like somebody was getting tossed aside. It was Roman Reigns tossing somebody aside. And then it was supposed to be cued that like he was going to spear CM Punk.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. I think I remember what you're talking about.
Like, it was, and Solo Sokoa was like trying to figure out what was going on.
Yeah.
And then they do it. Yeah, I don't know. It was the weirdest portion of that thing. But I don't know, man. I could barely remember the match. And then you have like the end of it where, as you were saying, Bronson Reed goes atop the steel cage, and I kind of do like the fact if there was something to like about the new steel cage arrangement is now they have sheet metal or something on top of the corners.
Like a platform.
So as opposed to when you have, because I imagine it's kind of dangerous when you actually go up there and all you have to step on is like the metal bars that are at the top of the ring. So now that they actually have a platform, all right, cool. Now they can get their proper footing and do like, you know, jump, get a proper jump. But anyways, that didn't seem to make a difference for Bronson Reed, but
no, but you know,
but, that spot of CM Punk pulling off Roman Reigns was interesting because it looked like it was like a matter of seconds that he was able to pull him off. So, oh my man, cool for them to make that look as real as possible that he was able to pull him off. And then it just turned into a spot fest with the finishing off of Solo Sikoa with everybody hitting their fucking finisher and the outcome. I don't know if I like the outcome. I really thought I was under the impression that if they're going to prolong this whole, because what are they going to do now? What are they going to do?
It's nothing. Now it's dead. It should be done. Like this was it.
Because you know, thinking about it, that whole promo between CM Punk and Roman Reigns and how
you'll do a favor now or whatever.
Well, no. Paul Heyman saying that if we lose to the new Bloodline, it's all over. Right, knowing that they're going to come right back on Monday Night Raw. And no. This new pay-per-view, this new PLA is going to be the definitive
end
of the war between the two bloodlines. But the only thing I really see at this point to really decide the ending of this is that it's Roman Reigns versus Solo Sikoa, even though we already got that for the Ulafala, the actual, like the garment, the necklace thing for him to win that. But I just don't see how they could drag it out at this point. Like this is the end for me.
Yeah, this is terrible. This needs to be done. Like this just needs to be done and go away. And maybe that's their plan. I don't fucking know. Mm-hmm. Again, I don't know what the deal. I also hate that fucking spot fest finisher at the end. All it does is just make everybody's finishers look weak as shit. Because you're telling me you expect to believe that Solo Sikoa can take
all five of them.
Well, he took He took the single from Jimmy, the single from Jay, the double from the two of them. Then he took the Haluva kick, then he took the GTS, and then he took the fucking spear from Roman Reigns. And that was what did him in. Six finishers. And again, he took every single one of those finishers with the exception of the last one and stayed vertical, standing on his feet. You expect me to think that any of these finishers are threatening whatever when a weak bitch like Solo Sikoa can take them and just stand and just be cool?
It's the morbid obesity that stopped all of it.
his jiggleness kept him upright.
Yeah.
He's like a weeble. Like he always wobbles, but he never falls. Like that's the deal.
Yeah.
For
all the shit that you were talking about, morbid obesity and
that's
and wrestling,
actually what saves him. Yeah, that's why nobody's finishers work anymore is because they're all fat. That's
yeah, he's all padded and he's like, man, yeah. That.
I didn't feel any of that.
Yeah, I didn't feel any of that.
All my neck fat stopped that GTS from hitting me in my forehead fat. I swear to God, man. Again, it just makes the shit look weak. And again, I hope we're done with this. Saturday night's main event's probably gonna suck ass too. If they continue this fucking deal.
I just hope Kevin Owens kills Cody Rhodes.
That'd be great. I'd love to see that. I think the title needs to come off Cody Rhodes. I think it's time. I think it's this, you just pull it off and get rid of it and move on to something else. I don't know if we're going to get that, though. I also think that...
I think Kevin Owens as Undisputed Champion would be a sweet fucking heel run because...
Yeah.
I think he's great on the mic. Like, he could carry... He could literally carry everybody in promos for whoever he faces. And obviously, he can carry a match, too, so...
Yeah, absolutely. And seeing the promo... Or not promo, but the... what is it called? The media scrum or whatever the fuck they do afterwards?
Yeah.
Seeing Triple H being asked how Netflix is going to change what they're doing and like how it's going to change the product and stuff, and him saying that it's going to change absolutely nothing and we're going to continue making these great storylines, I'm not hopeful now that Netflix is going to.
I'm not hopeful either. I think Survivor Series is a testament to more of the same post, or even starting with Netflix era.
I'm kind of willing to go out on a limb and give them a chance just because of the fact that, like, obviously Vince's departure was very sudden, and as we know, Vince plans shit out like a year or so in advance. So I'd be willing to give them until the end of the year to, like, with this problem, these bullshit storylines that we've been seeing, and really just say, okay guys, like, now we're plotting what's going to happen, like, in 2025. That's when it's going to be all Triple H taking over.
Why is that? So how do you know that this is all Vince McMahon's shit being played out, and why does that matter if he's not even in the company anymore?
Well, because again, I think it's just in terms of storytelling, like, they're like, okay, we got to kind of like finish out this shit. And I think that, because again, just knowing how Vince operates and how he was doing things, is they plan out like the next year's WrestleMania like a year and a half in advance. They're already plotting shit out that far. So with this, I think that they were like, okay, we got to just like play the rest of this shit out. I thought they were going to go and stop at WrestleMania, but obviously I thought that was going to be the reset of the storyline, and they were going to say, okay, cool, everything's reset. We're deleting everything after this, and we're going to start new. Obviously, they didn't do that. I feel like they kept a lot of the same shit going, which was ass and a half anyways. And I feel like that, okay, maybe they were like, shit, we had storylines planned out till like the end of 2024. And maybe they obviously knew that this Netflix deal was going to happen, obviously, before that. So maybe that was their strategy of, okay, we can just kind of keep bullshitting with the same shit. And then once we get to Netflix, that's when we can step up the storylines. And that'll be night one. That'll be when shit starts for us, of like us coming up with our own shit. Because everything that they can book for the first Raw on Netflix needs to be killer shit. It can't be just the same old horse shit. It's got to be some killer shit. It's got to be a fucking a grand PLE, essentially. It's got to be your best PLE of the year, in my opinion, or at least the best one in the last fucking 12 months. It's got to be the best fucking one.
I feel like we're going to see a lot of people, if we're going to get a redraft of the entire roster between the two rosters. Because now Netflix, as we've probably talked about previously, Netflix is paying money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
a shit ton of money.
Now we know that SmackDown is the B show definitively. Or at least in my opinion it is, and it's felt that way for a long time.
Yeah.
They're not just going to leave a few A-listers on SmackDown. Now Raw is going to be the premier flag program. So we have to see Cody Rhodes
Yeah.
go back to Raw. We have to see Roman Reigns go back to Raw. Or at least that's my theory, is that there's going to be some bullshit that these guys are going to end up back on Monday Night Raw because Netflix is paying them a fuck ton of money and they're not going to have fucking B-listers carry the show.
Yeah, I feel like we're going to go back to there just being one title of main title, and then we'll have a bunch of other mid-card titles. And then we're going to get rid of this Raw and SmackDown nonsense. It's going to go to fucking Tuna. Everybody's going to be on it. Anybody can be on any show. That's to me what would make the most sense, that you can then have, because you still don't want SmackDown to fail.
No.
So you need to have occasional appearances from your like top guys. And yeah, sure. You can still keep them on this buku schedule of just basically coming in once a week or whatever. Right. You still have them on that. But hey, every like month, you're going to have to do like a SmackDown, or you're gonna have to do whatever the other like minimal show is or whatever. And then you can, there's enough top guys where you can spread them around enough throughout the year to where like, okay, nobody's working fucking 2 days, you know, nobody's working both Raw and SmackDown every fucking week in terms of like that. Your top guys are gonna be able to be protected and safe for Raw. Every once in a while, they're gonna need to go to SmackDown for like, you know, do a little stint on SmackDown or something until SmackDown, which I do believe SmackDown's gonna come to Netflix. I believe Netflix, if Raw does well, which, again, that's another reason why you need to be performing extra well on Netflix, is so that Netflix will want to bite and buy SmackDown.
All right. That's the part that kills me, too, is because if they're scaling down the stages for even the PLEs, and Netflix just gave you all this money and you're supposed to be proving why they paid X amount of dollars for your programming, this shit better look good.
Yeah.
So you better not be fucking being cheap in the same way that Saudi Arabia is getting all these baller ass fucking stages with a giant ass Titantron.
Yeah. Yep.
Like, how come we're not getting that shit?
Yeah, and they're getting these elaborate set pieces and all kinds of crazy shit. Yeah, we're not getting any of that shit. So I don't know. I think it's going to change. I think I hope it does. But again, listen, when we sit down and watch that fucking Monday Night Raw on Netflix, if that's a 3-hour episode of the same old shit, I'm going to be very fucking upset.
We're getting a title match for sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think every title that exists will be defended on that show.
I think we'll get a title change for sure.
Yeah, one of them will change. Probably the tag team titles is going to change for sure. Because the Judgment Day will finally defend them, because I think they've only defended it like 2 times in the last like 9 months. So.
All right. If they're going to prove that the Wyatt Six are legitimate, they're going to win it at the Netflix Raw.
Yeah.
But as I said before,
no one's going to care.
Nobody's going to care. And all this horse shit with all the promos and, oh, man, I'm hearing voices and all this bullshit. And my ghost brother is influencing me and I feel guilt, and nobody gives a shit, man. This is wrestling.
True story.
Go prove your shit in the ring, man. So tired of this shit. Wyatt Six. Oh, God. They're coming out of the ring and interrupting another stable and then kicking their ass. What is it? American Made?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? Who gives a shit? You need to win a world title in order for me to give a shit. And Bo Dallas ain't that guy.
Nope. Unfortunately, he ain't. Fuck him. I don't know. Anyways, what's the next fucking pay-per-view?
I don't know. I think if you're going to call it a pay-per-view, Monday Night Raw, or Netflix.
PLE next. Oh, man. Oh, wait. Next is... Okay, next would be... WWE Network event chronology. The next is NXT Deadline, which is Saturday, December 7th. Oh, it's a retelling of Pearl Harbor, I imagine. On the anniversary of Pearl Harbor. Okay, and then we got Saturday night's main event.
So what is that? Is that like a pay-per-view, or is it going to be a weekly program, or what is that?
No, Saturday night's main event. It's it looks like it's going to be...
Weekly program?
No, it's going to be just like a fucking... It's like a PLE. Yeah, it looks like it's a PLE.
Just for NBC? It says NBC's going to get it, so it's like going to be free.
Let's see. Okay, in addition to Peacock, this will be the only Saturday night's main event to live stream on the WWE Network in international markets, as its content will move over to Netflix in January 2025. Okay, wait a minute. The event will be simulcast, airing on NBC and streaming on Peacock in the United States as a 2-hour special, making the first Saturday night's main event special since 2008.
Good Lord.
It will see the crowning of the inaugural WWE Women's United States Champion.
Who gives a shit?
I agree. Who gives a shit? Okay, so that's what's next. And then after that, from December 14th...
The Royal Rumble with cheese.
We get the Royal Rumble on February 1st. So that's
son of
why,
a bitch. No January.
No, it's Monday Night Raw on Netflix. That's the PLE for the month. That's why they're gonna do it. They're gonna have to go big. So that's
wait,
why
hold I'm, on. But January is typically the month of Royal Rumble, right?
Correct. Now it's being done on February 1st. Yeah. And then the next event is, oh, look, they're going back to Canada for fucking Elimination Chamber. John Cena's last time ever in Toronto. That's literally what's being touted.
And they put that motherfucker on the
he's on
poster.
The cover. Yep. And that's going to be on March 1st. God damn. Fuck, man. So what? WrestleMania's going to be April? Two-day combo. Fuck, man. Yeah, April night. Middle of fucking April, too, man. Jesus.
So at some point, we're going to get WrestleMania 3D. Three days.
And then they have nothing listed after that. So we don't know what the fuck the next shit's
going to
be.
3 days of WrestleMania.
But we're going to get Royal Rumble with cheese and then Elimination Chamber. So I guess we'll see what the fuck happens. Man, this is going to be the first event held at this arena since WrestleMania 18 in 2002.
Good Lord, that's 20 plus years.
That is the last time that John Cena will appear in Toronto.
Nobody gives a shit.
And no one cares. Anyways, all right. Well, fuck. Stay tuned for those. I mean, I guess we'll probably, I don't know. Obviously, we're going to do Saturday night's main event. We're going to have to watch that and fucking see how fucking shitty that is. Hopefully, it's not shitty, but it'll be on NBC, so I'm sure it's going to be hot garbage.
So what's basically going to happen is that it's going to be the 3-episode anime rule, except it's going to be the next 3 months or else I'm out. I'm getting to WrestleMania, and if this shit doesn't pick up, I'm out.
You're out. You're done with fucking WWE.
I'm done with wrestling.
Oh, you're not even going to do like local wrestling and midget wrestling like we talked about doing? No wrestling at all?
Maybe. We'll see.
I think that's what this is going to end up turning into. This is going to be us doing local, like small independent wrestling, going and checking out those and just seeing what they're about.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like, I mean, listen, honestly, I kind of want to go see some Lucha Libre shows. So like those will be fun. I mean, I might get stabbed, but whatever. I don't give a fuck. It's worth it. Because it's good wrestling. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want to see that. And also, like, I kind of, they're doing a lot of the midget wrestling here in, what do they call it? It's called dwarf something or no? I don't know. They call it something, but it's coming here to Corona. Like, they're going to do it here.
I couldn't tell you.
So I kind of want to go see that. I think it's like next month in December. We should just go check it out. I feel like tickets are like $20. Like, it's at the fucking VFW or whatever the fuck it's called. I don't know.
It's entirely possible that I'll be so disenfranchised from WWE being shit that I just won't care about wrestling
at all. Damn. All right. Well, WWE, you got until WrestleMania to turn things around or else Adam's out. All right. And then it's going to have to be me and Frank doing Game Rage Wrestling from now on because Adam will be done. Adam will be like, fuck wrestling. I never want to see it again. Anyways. All right, or no, maybe I'll have, maybe it'll be me. I don't know if Frank wants to do wrestling, but maybe I'll have to have Ian come on and he can do fucking wrestling. Or I'll have his brother-in-law fucking come do it with me and then we can talk about wrestling. Anyways, all right, well, I guess this will be the end of this episode. So, anyways, go check us out on fucking whatever the other shit is.
You know where to find us.
Yeah, you know where to go. Fuck, I'm not even going to fuck with it. Yeah, you know where to go. Go check out all our shit and then check out All Guys No Trash on Instagram and the podcast. All right, goodbye.
That was another wonderful, amazing, powerful episode of the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And take it from me, ladies and gentlemen, the natural lad, Jet Swag. If there's one podcast, one show you should be listening to, that you should be absolutely grateful for, it's the Game Rage Wrestling Podcast. And one of the things you can do to show your appreciation for all the hard work and dedication that these boys put out day in, day out, just for you people, it's that you can go and you can subscribe and you can like and follow them on the Instagram and the TikTok at Game Rage Magazine. You can also follow them and like them and subscribe to them on the old Twitter, which I don't know what it's called now, but who cares? It's at Game Rage Mag there. Additionally, if you feel the need to really show your appreciation, which you should, then go to their website at www.GameRageMagazine.com and show us some love. Show them some love. And show some love for the natural lad, Jet Swag.